This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
All eyes on the employment report today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Labor Department releases unemployment figures for January later this morning, and analysts are betting the economy may have added some jobs for the second time in 3 months. But some say the unemployment rate is likely, or unlikely, I should say, to dip below 10% anytime soon. Marketplace's Amy Scott explains.
Even if the economy finally starts creating jobs, it may be a while before the unemployment rate starts to fall. Carrie Leahy with Decision Economics says the rate may even rise at first. He says as the job market improves, more people who had dropped out of the labor market will start looking again and showing up in government surveys.
You could have this odd situation where a stronger labor market does give you a rise in the unemployment rate because more people look for jobs and actually find them that month.
Analysts are hardly agreed about where the labor market is heading. Forecasts from economists polled by Bloomberg News range from 100,000 jobs cut in January to 100,000 gained. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Investors are worried about the risk of a financial crisis in Europe due to debt problems in smaller Eurozone countries. The euro dropped to an 8-month low against the dollar, and that inspired the Swiss central bank to take some action to stop the euro's slide. We're going to bring in Marketplace's Stephen Beard from London. He's joining us live with more. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So what are the Swiss doing?
They're buying euros. They're clearly worried that the weakness of the euro is driving their currency too high, and that could make their exports more expensive. Analysts, however, say this action by the Swiss central bank is unlikely to make much of a difference. The euro does seem to be headed lower.
And why, Stephen, are they so convinced of more weakness in the euro?
Currency dealers have scented blood. I mean, last year it was the dollar they were bashing. The thinking was it was the US that was most heavily exposed to the crisis through its banks. Now dealers are focusing on the problem of government debt. And the thinking is some of these weaker, more heavily indebted countries in the Eurozone, like Greece, Spain, Portugal, are struggling to borrow more. If they default, the thinking goes, that could knock the euro sideways in extreme circumstances, perhaps even lead to the euro's collapse.
And what are the consequences for the United States?
Well, it could have a big impact. It could hamper the U.S. recovery. The U.S. dollar has already gained about 8 or 9% against the euro in a couple of months. And this is making U.S. exports more expensive. When President Obama has called for a doubling of U.S. exports to stimulate the U.S. economy and create more jobs.
Marketplace correspondent in Europe, Stephen Beer, joining us from London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
All right. Let's check numbers. Oh, yeah, the sad music. So those concerns are causing markets to tank overseas. European shares are off right now, anywhere from 1% to 2%. In Asia, stocks closed much lower today, 2% to 3% or more in some cases. American markets not happy at all about an increase in jobless claims. That report came out yesterday. On Wall Street, the S&P fell by more than 3%. The Dow lost 268 points, its biggest point loss in months, to close at just above 10,000. In the mergers and acquisitions department today, industrial gas company Air Products and Chemicals wants to buy smaller rival Airgas. It's a deal worth $7 billion in cash and debt. The offer is worth about $60 a share, a premium of 38% on yesterday's closing price.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. By Microsoft, offering cloud computing for businesses with solutions for managing the transition to the cloud while managing costs for customers at microsoft.com/cloud services. and by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com.
We keep hearing talk of these giant federal budget deficits, trillions of dollars, and a debt ceiling that keeps getting raised by Congress. Former Labor Secretary Robert Rice says we should be paying attention to how much people are saving. And he's with us now to talk about it. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Steve.
So we've been hearing a lot about Uncle Sam's budget, but what about the budgets of regular people?
Regular people are saving more and spending less. The rate of personal saving is rising. It hit 4.8% of after-tax income in December.
Now, 4.8%, that still sounds pretty low.
Well, it's all relative. Back in the 1950s and 60s, Steve, the typical household saved about 9% of its income, and then that dropped. By the 1980s, the savings rate was down to 7%, and just before the crash of 2008, it was down to around 3%.
So it's good then, Bob, that people are saving, right?
Well, it's rational for the individual person and household. So many people got clobbered over the last 2 years, either actual or threatened loss of jobs or home, piles of credit card debt, auto debt, and they decided rationally they don't ever want to go through that again. And in addition, you've got all of these baby boomers facing retirement without enough savings. Their 401ks took a licking in the downdraft. Their homes are worth far less than they assumed they'd be worth, so they've got to start saving like mad, too.
And if saving is so good, though, Bob, what's the problem?
Well, here's the problem. What's good for individuals and families is not necessarily good for the country or the economy as a whole. You see, when people save more, they obviously spend less. And if everybody's spending less, producers, that is retailers, manufacturers, service businesses, they don't have enough of a market for what they sell, which means they don't hire, they don't refill inventories, they don't expand, and the economy has a harder time getting back on its feet.
All right. So what's the answer then?
Well, if American consumers go on a savings binge, Steve, we're going to have to count on other sources of demand to pull us out of slump. For example, new corporate investments and exports.
And neither of those, though, has increased enough to fuel a recovery, have they?
No, and that is part of the problem. And it's why many economists think we still need a big federal stimulus and why the Fed has to keep short-term interest rates low for the time being.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Rice and current University of California, Berkeley professor of public policy. Bob, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
And finally, Men's Health magazine is coming out with a list of America's drunkest cities, citing deaths from liver disease, DUI arrests, and frequency of binge drinking. The Rag plans to print the ranking of 100 cities for its March issue. The burg with the least number of drunks? Boston. I didn't make that up. And the winner of America's drunkest city? Fresno. Insert joke here. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.